Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back.
You either go to church or you're going to go.
Sure, undivided, but not in a syncretic sort of fashion, not in a convergence sort of fashion. But, you know, united in and by the Holy Spirit, so to speak. Imagine that. What a concept. So I'm just going to finish this thought, you know, from the first hour. I think I beat it to death enough. And so I'll leave it here. But, you know, from Friday's broadcast, particularly, and there are some things, we'll just sort of throw this stuff out. I mean, Ezra Pound is the guy who reminded us that the technique of infamy is to invent two lies and get you arguing heatedly over which one is true. And this works out in a variety of ways. It seems to me that this is really working very effectively. There's so much agitprop floating around these days. You know, Donald Trump's mugshot. it's just, it's so insane what we see happening. We have choices. You know, I don't think that we should be participating in the dialectical conflict. So, what do you do? What are your alternatives? It's interesting, you know, all of the intellectualizing and philosophizing happens in a, you know, largely a solipsistic sort of environment, which is, you know, I addressed that in the first hour. I'll leave that there. So there's agitprop everywhere. Glasnost is a thing. You got agitprop. Leads to glasnost. I've mentioned several times, including last week, that the old Wikipedia entry for glasnost had this bit under areas of concern. Glasnost did indeed. So, you know, glasnost in English is openness and transparency. Sounds familiar. So it has this bit that says, in the late 1980s, the Soviet government came under increased criticism, and members of the Soviet population were more outspoken in their view that the Soviet government had become a failure. Then what happened? Glasnost did indeed provide freedom of expression far beyond what Gorbachev had intended, and changed citizens' views toward the government, which played a key role in the collapse of the Soviet Union. They thought it was their idea. And, you know, we've been circulating Yuri Bezmenov's ideological subversion these days, but we don't realize that this is happening right out in plain sight. So glasnost is openness and transparency. Oh my gosh, this is a failure. We got to throw the baby out with the bathwater and start all over. And perestroika is essentially, you know, the nation building continuation. So we have glasnost and perestroika happening right in our midst, and we don't even see it. I've not heard anybody talk about it. I've mentioned, 10 years ago now, I sent James Corbett something and said, "Hey, James, what do you think? I think this is what's happening." He said, "Maybe." I haven't heard anybody say anything. So, agitprop provokes this glasnost idea that, the whole thing is a complete failure. We just got to start over. And Parag Khanna wrote a book for that. Here's what we should do. We should just have 10 poobahs. They can decide everything for everybody. And I'm reminded of Jefferson, obviously. The irony, Jefferson among others, who reminded us, sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Our own philosopher king. Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question. So then, you start thinking about Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Action for Action's Sake. I said that we would play a clip on Friday. I said I would try to grab that clip. I was thinking, I should do that real quick. We should do that because you'll see what I'm talking about. What I was, saying, this vigilante justice impulse. Whether people are, whether it's a put up job, whether we're being set up by actors, or whether people genuinely feel this way, it has the same result. Has the same effect. And you can hear the echoes of Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10. Action for action's sake. We need someone strong and powerful enough to put this, it's a very Marxist, very Nietzschean will to power, very Machiavellian, by whatever means necessary. It's, it's a Rumsfeldian posture. Sometimes you have to, break a few eggs to make an omelet and, embrace people that you wouldn't want as your neighbors and all this kind of crazy nonsense. Where does it end, though? Let's see. How long is this? I think it's short, right? Yeah. So the video that I was thinking of, the segment, is, the commentary on Donald Trump's mugshot. Inside Edition says, "Did Trump lie about his weight on jail booking form?" It's, ridiculous. Just no end to the insanity. So, we live in an Inside Edition world. I've talked about the fact that the Inquirer seems more credible these days than the New York Times or the Washington Post on many days. We got Strategy of Tension episodes happening everywhere, all over, constantly. It's, constantly reminded. You know what's interesting, though? One thing that we you know, radical Islamic terrorism. We haven't seen that in a while, have we? Maybe I shouldn't say that. That's like the golf commentators. The PGA Tour Championship was wrapped up this past weekend, and who was it? It was what's his name that said, you know, basically it's the jinx of the commentator. Sports commentator. Who says, you know, like in golf, you know, this guy, you know, he hasn't bogeyed a hole, and then, you know, they jinx him, obviously, and that's what happens. So this little bit here, this video is titled Former President Donald Trump's Mugshot Release. This is the Fox News deal from last Thursday. And Ned Ryan on Jesse Waters' broadcast. Jesse Waters is, if there was ever an agent provocateur, it's definitely, you know, he was. That seems to be in his DNA. Anyway, so this clip, former President Donald Trump, mugshot released. Ned Ryan, founder of the American Majority. What does Ned have to say? And you'll notice if you look at the background behind Ned, I presume this is, you know, his whatever, his library behind him. That's interesting as well. Speaking of solipsism, can we play that clip, please?
Let's bring in the founder of American Majority, Ned Ryan, here to react. So we're about to see the mugshot, and there it is.
Yeah.
Let's just take that in for a second. You do see some anger in the eyes. And I don't like the ghoulish coverage of it. CNN got the image leaked to them before the rest of the media. That tells you everything you know about
the
process. Your reaction, this does elicit an emotional response.
Well, I would hope that people understand what time it is. I mean, we are in a cold civil war with the un-American left. They have decided that they will use the quote-unquote legal system as a weapon against political opponents. And I don't think many on the right fully understand that. I thought that was one of the biggest disappointments in last night's debate, that nobody really understood that the greatest threat to our freedom and liberty in this country is not Russia, it's not China, it's the administrative state. And they want somebody, the voters want somebody who's going to stand up to the system and actually crush it and return us back to representative constitutional government. And the left fears Trump. I mean, this is very apparent to me watching this. They fear him. They view him as an existential threat, that if he does become the nominee and actually win in 2024, he's made it very clear what he will do. He will go to war with the administrative state and break it apart. And they cannot have that happen. They cannot allow him to get back into power to achieve that. And they're going to do everything that they can to prevent that. And I have to tell you, Jesse, unless the right wakes up and understands the only path forward is mutually assured destruction, lawfare launching nukes right back at the left, they will continue down this path. They're not going to stop. They're not going to somehow go, oh, yeah, we should stop this. This isn't good for a republic. They are going for the win. And until we actually fully understand that and fight back and make them understand there will be mutually assured destruction, their behavior is only going to get worse.
You're saying Republicans should promise mugshots of Democrats?
100%. They've already posted 4 indictments on Trump. And our state AGs are sitting there looking at each other like they don't know what time it is. At some point, they actually have to understand we are in a very interesting time as a country. Forget what you think from the past, where we've come from. Where we are right now is a fight for the actual future and existence of a constitutional republic. And at some point, you have to fight fire with fire. And if we don't do that, they are going to continue down this path. They are intent on one-party rule. The progressive statist left wants to have one-party rule in which they are the dominant party. There may be some controlled opposition folks, But that's what they want. They do not want dissent. They do not want freedom of speech. And they sure as heck, at the end of the day, Jesse, they're done with representative democracy. They do not really believe in that anymore. It frightens them. It could upend the apple cart. And this is really what it's about. And I have to tell you, at the base of all of this issue with Donald Trump, all of this is sound and fury. It comes down to one thing: who decides? And Donald Trump came into D.C. and he said, I'm the duly elected president of the United States. I decide both foreign and domestic policy. And the administrative state and its allies and the Democratic Party and the corporate propaganda said, we don't think so. We're the ones in charge. We decide. This is what it's all about. Who decides?
The power of this image, and this image is going to be used everywhere. You're going to see it.
You see the irony here? I mean, it's all in this one little nutshell. I could not have asked for this to be, you know, done better, to substantiate the point. You know, Ned Ryan, it all comes down to one thing: who decides? Who decides? Mutually assured destruction. I mean, is Ned Ryan a Kissinger acolyte? That's kind of weird. You know? Do you see my point mentioning what I mentioned earlier? Kissinger in the first hour, Kissinger's The Meaning of History, Reflections on Spengler, Toynbee, and Kant. You know, maybe we should play the Mike Wallace interview from, what was it, 1957, I think? Deterrence theory, territory, the Cold War. Are we being encouraged? Are we being sort of hypnotized and mesmerized into creating our own Cold War between, you know, political and ideological rivalries, or in or between rivals, so-called rivals? You know, this obviously does not. You know, you have there's nuance in here that obviously needs to be spoken to as well. The nuance in simple terms here is that you have talking heads pointing to figureheads or puppets in a puppet show, a little kabuki theater. And the people, you know, again, speaking of things like mirror neurons and this idea that it's us, you know, and we identify ourselves with these people or these ideas or whatever. And the talking heads talk about the general populace in assumptive sort of fashion, in adhesion sort of fashion, where it's just assumed, you know, speaking in terms like liberals and conservatives, radical this, radical that, and people identify with this stuff rather than stopping and saying, wait a second, I mean, you're not talking about me. First of all, I don't know you. You don't know me. I'm not just some reductive, you know, caricature of a person. I'm a little more sophisticated than that. Those kinds of things really are sort of the clarion call of Hayek's point number one, or reason number one. Three main reasons. Reason number one, it's not those with highly differentiated tastes. It's the, you know, as he said, it is, as it were, the lowest common denominator, which unites the largest number of people. If a numerous group is needed, strong enough to impose their views on the values of life on all the rest, it will never be those with highly differentiated and developed tastes. It will be those who form the mass in the derogatory sense of the term, the least original and independent. That's what Ned Ryan is, you know, that he's the sending the call out to those folks who are not sophisticated enough to articulate and understand the nuance. Stick around, we'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Of all of this issue with Donald Trump, all of this is sound and fury. It comes down to one thing: who decides? And Donald Trump came into D.C. and he said, I'm the duly elected president of the United States. I decide both foreign and domestic policy. And the administrative state and its allies and the Democratic Party and the corporate propaganda said, we don't think so. We're the ones in charge. We decide. This is what it's all about. Who decides?
I think that's so ironic. So Ned Ryan, you know, I mean, before that, obviously, just the whole exchange. I mean, this just – it couldn't prove the point better. Jesse Waters starts out, Trump, you know, Trump's mugshot. Let's take this in. And he said that. Just take that in for a second. You do see, anger in the eyes. I don't like the ghoulish coverage. And, you know, then he said this elicits an emotional response. Imagine that, provoking people to an emotional response. And you're part of that, Jesse Waters. Ned Ryan, American Majority founder, you know, goes off. We're in a cold civil war with the un-American left. what are you doing? I mean, this is reductive for starters. This ignores the fact that people are highly propagandized, including by this. Can I just be frank? You're going to piss people off. People that are listening to this are going to get upset, start shaking their fist. People who hear that they are being discussed in these terms, presumably, are going to get upset. Is this the way to diplomacy or discussion? The Bible says, I mentioned Romans chapter 1, and I alluded to Paul reminding us not to take matters into our own hands. Romans 12, let love be without hypocrisy. You know, it's easy to say one thing and do another, which is why I said in the first hour, I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Yeah, but these people are our political opponents. They're our adversaries. Well, Jesus said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Today I give you a new command, love your enemy. So there's that. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Wow, what if we did that? You know, you think of Proverbs, Paul actually quotes Proverbs 25, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. I mean, you think about if instead of taking this tone, Ned Ryan says, I know that they want the best for America, and we give preference to our political adversaries, supposedly, in honor. If you do that, then you see how instead of shaming and vilifying, castigating in absentia, etc., then you draw down the conflict. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's what I was thinking over the weekend. And I'm preaching to myself. Speaking of solipsism, preaching to a congregation of one. Just kidding. But seriously, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, as, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Different posture than this scorched earth. Repay evil for evil. We have to repay evil with more evil. Where does that go? What do they say? Same thing. You're bearing false witness in that you're not providing all of the details and nuance, and you're vilifying people in absentia by generalizing and with these reductive assumptions and assertions. And all this will result in is more of like. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Agitprop is everywhere. Look at some of these titles of these videos on YouTube, for example. How about this one from The Hill? Maui fires. And, you know, there are alternating uppercase words. Maui fires kill people who obeyed government orders. Glenn Greenwald assails media's Biden blind spot. That's agitprop. Inside Edition, I mentioned this earlier, did Trump lie about his weight on jail booking form? People will get upset about that, want to fight about it. How about this one? Fox News, former mobster Sammy the Bull Gravano has a message for scumbag politicians. This is who we want to be representing, the voice of America, so to speak. I mean, I think, you know, we should just sort of think about that for a minute. Former mobster Sammy the Bull Gravano, you know, as though people need to be reminded, has a message for scumbag politicians. Does that sound like being devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor? Doesn't to me. So ironically, Ned Ryan is right. Perhaps not, you know, he's more right than he realizes, I think. It is about who, it's, you know, it comes down to one thing, like he said, who decides? Who's in charge? Who decides? Don't you see how ironic all of this is? Amate Etzioni, I didn't finish the excerpt from On Communitarian and Global Sources of Legitimacy, who has the, you know, authority to decide. And what's happening is that there are influencers who are influenced themselves, who are in turn influencing people and conning people into believing that it's their idea. In the same fashion that, you know, Glasnost was, as Wikipedia once put it, before it was, you know, before that was sanitized, which played a key role in the collapse of the Soviet Union. People thought it was their idea. In Genesis chapter 3, Eve thought it was her idea, you might say, in a manner of speaking. Because, you know, God says, and that basically sort of puts the suggestions and the questions beyond, you know, the realm of apprehension, maybe, or inquisition or whatever. You're not going to inquire. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And, you know, skipping forward, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she thought it was her idea. Yeah, you know what? Thought it was her idea. It's important to do that. You know, there's something that I think is a companion to all of this that may also be helpful. I talk about Stockholm syndrome from time to time, and effort, justification bias, and how politicians are notorious, you know, high-level politicians, you might say, are notorious for attacking their own constituency, which sounds counterintuitive, obviously. No, they're going to attack their political opponents. No, they're going to attack their constituency because it induces or it deepens Stockholm syndrome. Barack Obama was one of the most notorious for this. If you're paying attention, you're like, people, what are you doing? And, you know, I got two things I think. Maybe we can squeeze this in. Chad O'Jackson did a really good expose of, you know, he did a video, it's been viewed less than 1,000 times. I think it was over the weekend. The I Have a Dream speech was a scam. That goes with this other thing. Maybe we can play these two together. I'm going to have to really squeeze it in. Maybe we can do this. So there's this one, Jennifer Fried which is interesting. I was thinking about Jennifer Fried's name, Jennifer Fried, Jennifer Fried. If I just shorten her name, her first name, Jennifer Fried, it kind of sounds like something that she seems to be peripherally discussing. Anyway, Jennifer Fried, Betrayal Trauma, from the Brainwaves video anthology channel. I don't think we need to play all of this. I think you can get the general idea. I don't remember exactly where it is in here, but, you know, Betrayal Trauma. She's the one who pioneered, what's it called, the Davro? Or is it Darvo, I think? Darvo? I think it's Darvo. Deny, attack, and then reverse the victim and offender, I think is what it is. Deny, attack, reverse, victim and offender. Yeah, that's it. So anyway, you see that in politics a lot. Anyway, she's the one largely credited with this, you know, that acronym. But listen to what she says and think about this in a broader political context. Can we play that, please?
I'm Jennifer Fried. I'm Professor Emeritus of Psychology at the University of Oregon. I'm also the founder and president of the Center for Institutional Courage. And I will talk now about two things. One is betrayal blindness, which arises from my theory of betrayal trauma. And the other is institutional betrayal, which also grew out of the theory of betrayal trauma. Betrayal blindness is what occurs when people are betrayed often in a significant way by somebody they really trust, they depend upon, and that a person who has power over them and or takes care of them. And an example of betrayal trauma is a parent abusing a child. The child is in a terrible bind in that situation because they need to engage in a relationship with that parent in order to have their basic needs met. The way we respond to betrayal in life when fully independent and empowered is to be very aware of the betrayal and to confront or withdraw from the situation. So if you go to a store and they give you a bad product or the wrong change, typically, you'll confront the store and or demand your money back and or never shop there again. Similarly, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're very empowered and independent and they do something wrong to you, maybe they tell a secret they had promised to keep, you confront them or you end the relationship. And you can find examples of this reaction all over the place. We're in fact very sensitive to betrayal when we have power in a situation. The problem arises when we don't have power, when we're dependent. And in that situation, those responses of withdrawal and confrontation, which are kind of, by the way, like fight and flight, don't work because what happens is they take us away from a relationship we depend upon. If a child confronts an abusive parent or withdraws from an abusive parent, they're likely to have fewer of their needs met. They're not likely to be as well cared for, and it can actually risk their life because children are so dependent on parents. But it's not just children. Adults often are dependent as well. So if you're working for a boss and you really need the job and the boss mistreats you, there's a huge risk in being fully aware of that mistreatment because you may confront the boss or pull away and rock the boat, so to speak, and lose that job that you really need. The solution that we have as humans to this bind, we call betrayal blindness. And that's when some amount of the information about the betrayal is blocked from awareness. It can happen in various ways. Some people actually just forget the experience. Other people remember it, but retell it as if it's something they wanted, as if they were in control when they really weren't. These different ways of having betrayal blindness solve the problem for different people to different extents, but you can almost always find them if people are in a highly dependent relationship in which they get betrayed. This idea led to lots of research, and for many years, my students and I discovered that betrayal not only can lead to this kind of blindness, failures in memory and awareness, but also all sorts of other psychological and even physical consequences. Betrayal, in fact, can be quite poisonous to people. One of the things we wondered about during this research was whether institutions can also cause betrayal. And this came up a number of times because we would notice that there were some severe betrayals that involved institutions. Perhaps one of the most famous is the Holocaust, where a government ordered genocide on some of its very own citizens. That's an extreme betrayal involving individuals who are obviously dependent on the institution doing the betrayal. One of the situations that we also were aware of was what people said after they'd been sexually assaulted in the military. They would say, I joined the military in order to serve my country, but once I was there, I was sexually assaulted by a fellow officer, or even the commanding officer. That was bad, but then when I tried to report it and get help and justice, it was even worse. They would say to us, the institutional response of the military was even worse than sexual assault. And if you think about it, that's a pretty strong statement, because what's worse than sexual assault? Well, it turns out institutional betrayal sometimes can be. Institutional betrayal, very broadly, is when an institution doesn't do right by those who are dependent upon it. It can take the form of overt betrayal, like a genocide, but it can also take the form of failure to protect when protection is reasonably expected. And individuals do expect protection from many institutions. One reason we suspected we'd see betrayal blindness is that people are dependent, and not only that, they have emotional attachments to institutions that indicate their attachment system, which engages people's in relationships, can operate, because people say they love institutions, they love their school, they love their church. And when you love, that means you've got an emotional attachment to an institution. So we suspected there could be blindness for institutional betrayal and effects similar to interpersonal betrayal. So we proceeded to do research on this. My students leading many of the studies, Carly Smith, for instance, and we found out that, sure enough, institutional betrayal can be very powerful, even controlling for people's exposure to interpersonal betrayal, leading to a host of physical and mental and behavioral symptoms. One of the questions that then arose from this is what to do about it. And the solution I call institutional courage. And institutional courage is a host of behaviors institutions can engage in that reduce the probability of institutional betrayal.
Well, the reality is that institutions are made up of people, and people are flawed and, again, influenced in ways that they don't realize. We just heard Ned Ryan earlier, you know, on a Fox News segment talking about stuff people don't realize, the, you know, mutually assured destruction stuff, deterrence theory stuff, Machiavellian, you know, Kissinger-esque policy and posture. I mean, so we all should act like Henry Kissinger now, I guess. Anyway, institutional betrayal, leading to betrayal trauma, leading to betrayal blindness, failures in memory and awareness, i.e. Stockholm syndrome. And so she says, you know, when a person loves the institution or has a strong emotional attachment to the institution, like their kidnapper, this is what can occur. And so I say, you know, I mean, from our founding, we have, you know, we the people in order to form a more perfect union, et cetera, et cetera. The understanding being that government is, as Reagan put it in his Time for Choosing speech, government is beholden to the people. It has no source of power other than the people. What happened to that? The idea here is that people, as she said, are dependent on the institution. Could that include government? And so I ask, in this context, what do you suppose might happen in a welfare state society? I want to get to the other clip real quick, and we're running short on time. So Chad O'Jackson, the I Have a Dream speech was a scam. I think these two go hand in hand. Can we do that, please?
There was an interview that I was watching between
John Wood Jr.
and Tavis Smiley. John says that to him, Martin Luther King is the founding father of our America.
Dr. King, for me, was really the sort of founding father of the America that I know. Mm-hmm.
That is America post the I Have a Dream speech. You had the original founding fathers who put into motion the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which laid out the blueprint for a free country. Here along came Martin Luther King with his speech, which was its own kind of informal Declaration of Independence, as it were.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created.
The speech, which, by the way, was strategically written by MLK's communist advisors like Stanley Levison and Bayard Rustin, played to the patriotic sentiments of the American public so as to manipulate the populace into adopting a new interpretation of a more perfect union.
What we needed was a moderate presentation of the vision of the civil rights movement. That was orchestrated very beautifully by Bayard Rustin, and King put the icing on the cake with the I Have a Dream speech.
Dr. King, the deputy director of the march, the man who is credited in Life magazine with being the one who thought it up in the first place, is named Bayard Rustin. Rustin admits that he is a former member of the Communist League. Do you feel confident that he is qualified in every way to lead this movement?
I think Mr. Rustin is as committed to American democracy and as committed to the ideals of democracy as anyone at this time.
With almost surgical precision, with the help of the mainstream media, they managed to redirect the trajectory of our country down this road toward globalism and Marxism. Now these Marxian leftists get to decide to what degree is one living up to this dream or not.
These Memphis second graders are keeping his legacy alive.
School children are impacted by these new Marxist gatekeepers and interpreters insofar that they have their hands in public school curriculum. And so when we look at what's going on in Florida right now, what we see is that any curriculum that does not have the blessing of these gatekeepers are demonized as anti-progress and a threat to MLK's so-called dream. For example, Spike Lee literally said, by virtue of Florida passing this curriculum, that's an example of us not living up to Martin Luther King's dream.
We're trying to aspire to a dream, but we've not reached it, what Dr. King talked about.
And he's right. Like, people don't understand how right he is. When you understand the nefarious means by which that speech came to existence to begin with, it was very disingenuous. It wasn't a genuine speech at all. But you hear both right and left quoting that speech as though it's this kind of monumental, kind of sacred document.
50 years ago.
One of the tactics communists would use is they would oftentimes try and co-opt the legacies of America's figures.
A great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today.
One of their tactics was to try and connect their point of view and their motives to men like Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, as opposed to, say, Marx, Engels, Lenin. Make it seem as though you are in line and in lockstep with the American tradition. There's a difference in what the founders were doing and what King was doing. King was a direct betrayal of our founding values, and he knew that. He was very conscious of that.
People should ask themselves, why his dream? Why his vision? Out of all the pastors in America, why is it that Martin Luther King's dream was the one that was chosen to be the one that will be the new kind of founding document of modern America? It wasn't that he was especially more moral than other pastors. We know that Martin Luther King was a perpetual drug user and a serial adulterer. We also know from his personal papers that he wasn't really a Christian. He didn't even believe that Jesus rose from the dead, which is a basic tenet of Christianity. This is precisely the reason why Martin Luther King was placed on a pedestal by the mainstream media, who themselves were secular progressives who hated religion. Martin Luther King is the limitless credit card in the purse of the government to be utilized in the electoral marketplace each and every time they wish to expand their power all the more. So this is who Martin Luther King is, and this is what his legacy serves to do. Expand the role of the government in a covert way in the name of progress. If you're a Christian, we have the Bible. We have the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said that, you know, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. Like, we have the perfect teacher in terms of how we ought to deal with one another. We don't need this speech. Martin Luther King's speech has nothing on the Sermon on the Mount at all. But to a lot of people, I understand that it does, because they just take the speech at face value. And so, again, when you listen to Spike Lee sitting in that chair saying that we are not living up to the dream, that's the reason why you have these quote-unquote black Republicans who are trying to backstep, because they agree with him. They agree with Spike Lee because they hold Martin Luther King as a standard. They hold the speech as a standard. They hold the civil rights movement as a standard. They haven't been challenged with the information that we present here on Cutting Through the Culture and on our individual platforms, the four of us on this panel. They haven't been challenged with the narrative that we speak, which is a narrative that's based in truth. They have succumbed to the kind of inundative, overwhelming, pervasive, prevailing narrative that we all have been taught in our schools. And for me, I'm not impressed that you just believe the same thing that we all have been taught in our public schools. I mean, that doesn't impress me. The fact that you have Tim Scott and others sitting up there just saying the same things that we've all been taught and told, that's not impressive to me at all.
As we follow this form of mass action and strategic nonviolence, we will not only put pressure on the government, but we will put pressure on other groups which ought by their nature to be allied with us.
So, in closing, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, is then that the man of the party who seems strong and resolute enough to get things done, who exercises the greatest appeal. Strong in this sense means not merely a numerical majority. It is the ineffectiveness of parliamentary majorities with which people are dissatisfied. What they will seek is somebody with such solid support as to inspire confidence that he can carry out whatever he wants. It is here that the new type of party organized on military lines comes in. Action for action's sake, powerful enough to right the wrongs, but guess what? Abuse of power is a cliche of history. Lord Acton was right. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So the question remains, as always, who is in charge and who decides? We have choices, dear comrades. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't!
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.